alayhi wasallam, that he was a normal human like us. He did not have the knowledge of the unseen. He is, ma'azallah, dead in his grave. He cannot hear from far, and all these type of beliefs. We should not associate with these people. And it's common sense. It is common sense. I don't understand why people say, why should we not associate with these people? It's simple. If you have children, would you send your children to go and play with the drug dealers? Would you send your children to go and chill with the alcoholics? People who take smack, cocaine, drink alcohol. You wouldn't want your child to go and associate with them and be in their company. Or is there anybody that would? I wouldn't understand that somebody would want their child to associate with such people, be in such company. You should always try and be in the company of good people. People that are more pious than you, more knowledgeable than you. If you are in the company of those who are more pious, you will become more pious. If you are in the company of those who are more knowledgeable, you will become more knowledgeable. If you are in the company of those who are more ignorant, then you will become ignorant. If you are in the company of those people who drink alcohol, then there is a possibility that you will become an alcoholic. And the possibility is higher for that person becoming an alcoholic than that person who doesn't associate with alcoholics. Okay, that's common sense, isn't it? It's common sense. And the reason why we stop our children from such company, such bad company, is because we fear for their health and for their good being. But more important than their health and their good being is their iman. So why would we allow our children, or ourselves, or our brothers, friends, to go and associate and sit in the company of misguided people, people who have corrupted beliefs, people who are deviants, who say, ma'azallah, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead, ma'azallah. They say that. It's kufr to say that he is dead. The Quran says, لَا تَقُولُ لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمَّا. And it says, لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Don't even say, don't say that those who died in the path of Allah are dead. And in the other verse it says, don't even think that they are dead. So Allah is saying, don't say, and these people are saying he's dead. So why would we associate with people that make such comments? Some of them say that, oh, he didn't die in the path of Allah. How can you say that about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He came into this world in the path of Allah. Every breath he breathed was in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he wasn't in the path of Allah, then how can we believe in Islam if he wasn't? That is ridiculous to even think or have such ideology. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the beginning of creation, and he will even in Jannah he will be in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And it is haram, it is kufr to say that he is ma'azallah dead. Okay? And it's simple to understand that if somebody's mother passes away or father passes away and somebody comes to you and says, your mother's dead, is that not disrespectful? Would you not feel, okay, how is he saying, should he be saying something like that to me? I mean, if you were listening to somebody say that to another, you'd think she shouldn't be saying something like that, that's disrespectful. So why would it not be disrespectful when somebody says that in the court of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And how can we bear that? We shouldn't be able to bear that if we claim to be lovers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, and this is the reason why the pious predecessors never associated with these people. They kept themselves away from them. Okay, for example, Imam Muhammad ibn Mubarak or Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, Imam Muhammad ibn Mubarak, when two misguided people from the Ahlul Bidah came and sat and said, we would like to recite a verse of the Quran, a verse of the a hadith in front of you, and the great Imam says that, no, I do not want to hear a hadith from you. And they said, we shall recite a verse of the Quran. And he replies, I don't want to hear a verse of the Quran from you. Either you stand up and leave from here, or I shall stand up and leave from here. Subhanallah. He didn't want to sit in their company. And the students asked that if they would have recited a verse of the Quran, then what was the harm in that? Because nobody can fabricate a verse of the Quran, because Allah has protected the Quran from fabrication. So what was the harm in that? And he says that if they were to recite a verse of the Quran and they interpreted a meaning of it, and that meaning sat inside my heart, then I would have become misguided. This is how much they feared staying away from these people. And here today we think our iman is so strong that we will never be misguided. I can go with them, I can sit with them, I can go out with them, go and eat with them, but I will never be misguided. That's what we think. Yet Sayyidina Ibn Abi Mulayka radiallahu ta'ala says, I met over 20 Sahaba-i-Kiram, and none of them ever said that Inni ala imani Jibril, Inni ala imani Mikail. I hold the iman that Jibril alayhi salam holds, which means that I can never be misguided. I can never commit kufr, I can never do wrong. Iman can never leave my heart. None of them would say that. Instead, rather, he says, every one of them feared nifaq. They all feared the loss of their iman, that when Allah would take our iman away. And for that reason, they used to protect themselves. Okay? And if that is the state of the Sahaba al-Kiram, then who are you and I to say that my iman is so strong? Aapka iman kamzor hoga. Some people say this to us. Ki aapka iman kamzor hoga, isliye aap unki sahbat mein nahi baithte. Hamara iman itna kamzor nahi hai. Some people say that your iman must be weak, that's why you don't sit with them. My iman is extremely strong, I don't need to worry about it. There is a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I can't remember the Arabic word, but I am certain this is a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 110% certain. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that only those who possess iman will fear the loss of iman, and those who don't possess iman, they will not fear the loss of iman. Okay, that is our answer to them, people. So for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect your iman, protect your children from misguided people, stay away from them, don't mingle and jingle with these people. You never know when hidayat is taken away from you. Okay? Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Anybody have a question? Yeah.
So what do we say about those people who say that they try to get the powers to stay part of the episode, they try to welcome them to bring them back?
Working on them means to call them towards our maslak. That is fine. But it doesn't mean let's go out and we'll sit and we'll eat together, we'll drink together, and in this manner we are doing tabligh. That is incorrect. Okay? There is a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the Ahlul Bidah, those people who are misguided, those people who have rejected the daruriyatu Ahli Sunnah, not the daruriyatu Deen. Those people who have rejected the daruriyatu Deen, they are completely gone. Okay? They are murtad. And their punishment in a Muslim government would be, they would be beheaded. Okay? Death is the punishment. Wajibul Qatla. Okay? And it's not any Tom, Dick and Harry's job to do that. It is the job of the government to do that. Okay? The Hakim, he will be presented in the courtroom in front of the Qadi, and the Qadi will make the decision whether he will be executed or not. That's the manner it happens in. Even in the Muslim world, you don't take the law into your own hands. Okay? You have to take it through the Qadi. Now, this is for the people who reject the daruriyate deen. They are completely gone. And the hukum regarding the devbandis, generally, the arm hukum that we give is all devbandis are kafir and murtad. Okay? But when we individually pick them out, we don't individually label them as kafir. Okay? This is something that you need to understand. Arm hukum is that they are all kafir. But when we individual them out, then we call them misguided. We don't call them kafir. Okay? Until their kufr becomes apparent, then we will individually label them as kafir. Does everybody understand that? Okay? This is to follow the safer opinion. And these people, the Devbandis, the hukum of the Muftiyan-e-Kiram is to treat, in calling them kafir, we will follow the safer opinion and remain quiet. Okay? And we will regard them as misguided when we individual them out. However, in all other ma'amlat, buying, selling, sitting with them, drinking with them, they will be treated as murtads. Does that make sense? Nahi samajh mein aaya? The question is that the Devbandi mazhab consists of aqaid-e kufriya, disrespect of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, and we should know about that. If somebody doesn't know, then contact an alim edin and he shall tell you. One example I shall give you, Ashraf Ali Thanwi in Hizb al-Iman compares the knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with madmen, with Tom, Dick and Harry. He says, Zadu Mazakar, and in the English language that's translated as Tom, Dick and Harry. And pigs and donkeys and monkeys and all sorts, ma'azallah. He says that if we say that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam possessed partial knowledge of the unseen, then what speciality is there for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this? So such knowledge is also possessed by Zaid Umar Bakr, Al-Sabi, Majnun, all children, madmen, and all animals. Okay? What he means to say is that even the madmen and the animals, they all know the existence of Allah, and Allah is Ghayb. So what is the speciality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? See, that is clear disrespect of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And such statements, and these people regard this scholar Ashraf Ali Thanvi as the Hakim al-Ummah. And they, until today, nobody can say that we have added this text into his book. They are still publishing this book from the institute, and they are still debating this, that this is correct. He has said, ke aisa ilm to. Okay, and they say, ke, aisa ka matlab hai, jaisa ilm to, vaisa ilm to. They try and interpret it. And Ashraf Ali Thanvi himself tried to interpret it in Basul Bunad, which put a stamp on it that it is definitely kufr. Okay, because he explained what he meant. And when he explains what he meant, he explains that he did mean that the knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad is the same as ma'azallah, madmen and animals. So it's something that is clear-cut kufr, and it rejects the daruriyat deen, and it's qati, it's clear, it's absolutely clear, there's no space for interpretation. And people like Tahir al-Qadri, who today come and say that I can see space of interpretation, therefore I remain quiet, ma'azallah. Ashraf Ali Thanvi didn't interpret it. When he did interpret it, it was still clear-cut kufr. That was his kufr. So how can somebody today come and say, no, he didn't mean that, he meant this? The person himself has confirmed what he meant, and somebody comes today and says, no, he didn't mean that. That doesn't make sense. Okay, now nobody can change the hukum, because they established that this was our intention. The only time somebody can change the hukum is when somebody has said something and passed away. The ulama sat down and looked at the statement. They couldn't find an interpretation which would make that statement a statement of iman. And then they labeled that statement as kufr. And then somebody extremely more knowledgeable comes and says, wait a second, you passed the fatwa of kufr. However, there's a space of interpretation. He may have meant this. Okay? For example, somebody says that only Muslims will go into the fire of hell. No kafir will go into the fire of hell. People label this person as a kafir. The Quran clearly says that the kafir will go into the fire of hell, but this person saying the contrary. Now, an alim ad-din comes and he says, wait a second, he may have meant, and the person who said this, let's say he's passed away, we can't ask him his intention. An alim comes and says, he may have meant that after death, everybody accepts that Allah is the true Lord, and Muhammad is the true final messenger. Islam is the true religion. On the day of judgment, when we all rise, we will all see the truth. So all the kafirin who were kafir in the world now will have seen that Islam is the truth, and they will now accept Islam, meaning they will submit. And their submission will be put forth. They will accept Islam. They will be Muslims at that time. They will be thrown into the fire of hell because they were kafir in the world. So that interpretation comes. Okay? So in such situations, the hukum can change. But if that person was alive and he said, no, this is not what I mean. I mean that they are kafir, only these Muslims that are in this world, all of them will go into the Jahannam, into the fire of hell, and all these non-believers like George Bush, etc., they will all go into Jannat, ma'azallah. That's what I mean. If he establishes and he confirms this was my meaning, now Tom, coming after so many years, says, no, no, the space of interpretation, we will not regard him as a kafir. That doesn't make sense. Okay? That is wrong, that is incorrect. And that's what Tahir al-Qadri has said. I have listened to his speech myself, where he says that the ikhtilaf between Imam Azam Abu Hanifa and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in regards to Yazid, and the ikhtilaf of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala and Allama Fazl al-Khair Abadi in regards to Ismail Dahlvi, in the same way I have ikhtilaf in regards to the dead bandi. Okay? There was space for interpretation. Regarding Yazid, there were different narrations passed down. Some narrations didn't reach some places. That's why there was ikhtilaf. In regards to Ismail Dahlvi, there was space for interpretation in his statement. Also, there was news of his tawbah at the end, before he died. There were other reasons mentioned by ulama in the books. Because of that, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala did clearly say that he is a kafir, according to the fuqaha kiram, yet I, accepting the mutakallimin's mazhab, I remain quiet. So he did say he's a kafir, according to the fuqaha, but the mutakallimin remain remain quiet, and thus I would remain quiet as well. But here, there is no space for interpretation. It is absolutely clear. There is no difference in the mazhab of the fuqaha and the mutakallimin. All of them unanimously agree here that they will be labeled as kafir. That's the hukum of the Deobandis. Okay? So these people, because they are, their religion, their mazhab consists of kufr, for that reason they are regarded as kafir. All Deobandis are kafir, because the word Deoband consists of kufriya beliefs. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Qadianis consist of kufriya beliefs, therefore every Qadiani is a kafir. Okay? Christianity consists of shirkiya beliefs, Jesus, Son of God, Ma'azallah, things like this. Therefore, Christianity today is regarded as a kufriya mazhab. All Christians are kafir. All Hindus are kafir. All Qadianis are kafir. In the same way, all Deobandis are kafir, because their mazhab consists of kufriya beliefs. Now, because it has become apparent that all these individual Deobandis, they don't know about the kufriyat. That's now become apparent in the world. There's so many that are laymen, they go to the masjid, they don't have any idea of the kufr. Because of that reason, the ulama-i-kiram have said that individually, now, we will not label them as kafir. We will say all Deobandis are kafir, but when we ask that such and such person, then we will remain quiet. We will remain quiet because he may not be a kafir. Because it has become apparent that not all of them know. They are ignorant, their scholars tend to hide their beliefs, and therefore we will not label them individually as kafir. However, in all other rules, sitting with them, talking with them, eating with them, drinking with them, we will still regard them as kafir. Okay? Because the safer opinion in calling them a kafir or not is to remain quiet. And the safer opinion in interacting with them and associating with them is regarding them as a kafir. Does that make sense? So some of us understand. Those who don't understand, ask those that have understood. Okay, after. So, those people who claim to do tabligh with these people, who go and have meals with them, sit with them, go to their julus, go to their program, say that I'm slowly changing him. He should fear his own iman, that he is slowly falling in love with them. Because that's what happens. A friend of mine who studied with me in Egypt, he used to tell me that my father used to say to me that when you go to Harmain Sharifain, when the tilawat of the Quran starts for salah, don't even listen to that. Because if you will listen to that, then you will start, love will start being created in your heart for them, because they recite so beautifully. Okay? That's how much we should try and protect our iman. And it is true that they do recite beautifully, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in several ahadith said, ki wahi log Quran padhenge, lekin gale ke niche nahi utrega. They are the ones who will recite the Quran, but it won't go below their halaq. And you say, amal, usko samajna, they won't understand it, they won't act upon it, but they will recite it, and that's why we see that they do recite it. Anna? So, associating with these people, now, the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in regards to the Ahlul Bidah, the Mubtadi'een, these are those who are not kafir, they have not been regarded as rejectors of Daruriyatuddin. Regards to these people, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تجالسوهم, do not sit with them. لا تأكلوهم, do not eat with them. لا تشاربوهم, do not drink with them. لا تعودوهم إذا مريضوا, when they become ill, don't go to visit them. When they become sick, don't visit them. وإذا ماتوا لا تصلوا عليهم, when they die, don't pray their janaza salah. ولا تصلوا معهم, don't even pray namaz with them. Okay? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say لا تصلوا خلفهم, don't pray behind them. He said لا تصلوا معهم. Yani khud imam banke unko piche rakke mat karo. Don't even do their imama. Don't even leave their salah. Stay away from them. In the same way, to protect your life, you run away from a lion or a wild animal, run away from such people to protect your iman. Okay? In the same way as you would avoid the company of alcoholics and addicts of drugs to protect your health and your well-being, in the same way you should protect yourself from such company and such sahaba. Okay? It is the duty of the ulama-i-kiram to call people towards the maslak. It is not the duty of the awam. However, if somebody is knowledgeable and he knows somebody, he's somebody from his family members or somebody that he used to know as a friend, then it is fine if he invites him to the maslak of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But that's it. Just an invitation. Doesn't engage in debate. You should not engage in conversation about irrelevant things with them. Okay, and going out with them on meals and walks and talks and runs and football and other things like that. Okay, does that make sense? Does that answer the question?
Secondary question. Is there a different ruling to those people who are completely innocent or the Qumran rule is what? What are the Yahud and the Nasara?
Regarding the Yahud and the Nasara, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself interacted with them. Okay, he bought and sold from them. It is better not to, but it is permissible. Okay, it is permissible to buy and sell, even to eat with the non-Muslims. There's different types of non-Muslims. There is one known as Kafir-e-Asli. Kafir-e-Asli is he who is from head to toe a non-Muslim and he makes himself apparent as a non-Muslim. A Jew will come to you as a Jew. A Christian will come to you as a Christian. You know that he is a Christian. He will wear a cross. Or you know that his beliefs are of Christianity. He doesn't claim to be a Muslim or anything like that. You know his religion. With such people, you are allowed to associate with them. You can sit in their company. It's better to sit in the company of the pious and the knowledgeable. But we're talking about permissible. Okay, jaiz hai. It is permissible. So you can sit with them and you can talk with them, associate with them, buy and sell with them, interact with them. Because they are not as much as a fear to your iman as that person who comes to you in the clothing of a Muslim, with a beard, with an imama sharif, performs salah in the same manner that you do, yet he is a kafir. You see the difference?
Yes.
There is a big difference in that. Those people who are muqtadi' in Islam, they are non-Muslims or munafiqs in Islam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removed them from the masajid. And when they built another masjid, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered for it to be taken down. Anna? So this is the command of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in regards to the mubtadeen, the gumrah people, because they come in your clothes and they pray namaz in the same way we do. And I have seen people who have said to me, you know, they pray the same salah, they're just the same as us. They believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best of creation. They believe that it is one of the compulsory things of Iman to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They believe this. This is what people have come to me and said, because they have sat in the company. And this is what leads to misguidance. And that is why the hukum in regards to these people, the misguided people and the murtad people, is different to the kafir asli. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember, the nearer the enemy, the more danger there is. And the murtad, more than the murtad, the misguided. He is still a Muslim, yet he is misguided. Tika? Yes.
How about those who are Islamists?
They will be regarded as kafir asli as well. Okay? Do you know of a different opinion?
No, just not.
Okay. Jazakallah for asking. Good question. It's good that you ask these questions so that other people can know.
That's different. You mentioned the Yazidis and the Wahhabis. What about the so-called Ahl-e-Sunnah Jamaat? I say so-called people such as Baraghadi and Hamza Yusuf, these sort of people who claim to be Ahl-e-Sunnah Jamaat, and a lot of people follow them, yet they defend people such as Dante. Aren't these such a big threat now as well?
Of course they are.
Just as much, if not worse, than the Wahhabis?
Of course they are. They are worse. Those who claim to be within the Ahlus Sunnah, within the Wahhabis and the Debbandis, they also claim to be the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But people like Tahirul Qadri, who take the name of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, and who quote our ulama kiram, who quote the beliefs that we believe, yet they commit actions of kufr, they commit actions which degrade the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. For example, one of his statements in the Wembley program, where he says Allah is nothing special to the Muslims, ma'azallah. And when he is telling the non-Muslims, the Hindus, to say Hari Ram, Hari Krishna, bolo. Al-Amiru kafa'idihi. Ana, the commander of an action is just the same as the one who carries out the action. And he is ordering them, follow. And you say your God's name and you say what your religion says. This is kufr. This is al-amiru kafaidi. And things like this. And not only that, in regards to the Devbandis praying namaz behind them, ma'azallah, and doubting their kufr, these are all matters which are not small matters. These are serious matters. Regarding the ikhtilafat between all the different sects as furu'i, not usuli, ma'azallah, in fitna palestika khatma, kyokal mumkin, or something like that. In there where he regards everything as furu'i. Now somebody from amongst the Shia who swears that our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, ma'azallah, calls her a fornicator, and the Quran clearly refutes that and explains that the tahara of Sayyida, the purity of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother, and this person is saying it's a masala furu, meaning it's not a major issue, ma'azallah. And the Devbandis regarding the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the knowledge, as we just heard, comparing the knowledge of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with madmen and animals, and Asim Nanotvi interpreting the meaning of the word Khatam, saying that the word Khatam doesn't mean he came in the end and there is none after him. All these things, these are not furu'i. Furu'i means those which are not usul, those things which come below, which there is space for ikhtilaf. These are the usul of our deen. If that verse of the Quran does not establish the Khatamun Nabuwa, the seal of the prophethood, that there is no prophet to come after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If that doesn't establish it, then we don't have a verse of the Quran to prove it. If we don't use that verse, and he is regarding that as a furu ikhtilaf, things like this. So these people, we must stay away from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such people. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our iman. And we, my teacher, my ulama, the pious scholars that I have learned from, they have been speaking about Tahirul Qadri from over 20 years now. They have been telling people, people have not been listening. People like Mufti Azam Pakistan, Mufti Allama Wafaruddin Alayhi Rahmah, they told people in them days as well, the people never listen. And today, alhamdulillah, today people are listening. The ulama-i-kiram are waking up, and the mufti-i-kiram have now written fatawa against them in Pakistan, in Hindustan, and inshallah they will be from other places as well. May Allah protect us from all these type of peoples, these people who are misguided. There are others in the Arab world that I don't know of. There are many famous scholars, like brother just mentioned somebody. These ulama are from other countries, and if they are following the same manner, then the hukum for them is the same as well. And if they are, if they don't know, for example, there are some ulama in the Arab world who probably never heard of the Devbandis. If they don't know them, and Devbandis are coming to them and taking from them and sitting with them, and they are greeting them, and nobody's told them of it, and they are not aware, then we wouldn't say anything about them. Because they don't know. Them ulama, we will not regard them as misguided or anything. We will not blame them for that. Okay? However, if they have been shown the truth, and these ulama from the Arab world have been shown the truth, and it has been made clear to them. Remember, if we, myself and other friends of mine, went to Sheikh Taha Hubeshi in Egypt, the Ra'is in Qism al-Aqidah, and when we said to him that these are the beliefs of the Devbandis, he simply said, how can I take the word of you when I have read the books of the Devbandis and I have never found such? He is right. He is correct. So if an alim doesn't accept such people just coming and telling him, then that's fine. We still won't blame him. Until it hasn't been made clear upon him, put in front of him that, look, these are books published by them, this is what they've written. Until it's not been made as clear as that, we wouldn't blame them, ulama-i-kiram. Does that make sense? But if it has been made clear, and yet they still choose to associate with these people and not agree with the ulama, ahlus sunnah, then in that case, we would give them the same hope.